So today is June 11, 2050, in Sasana era 2559. The Dhamma talk Siyaro prepared to give the meditator here at TMC will be related to Sila, the moral conduct, which Siyaro has expounded a few days ago and yesterday too. And there are four kinds of sila: Patimokkha Samvara Sila, Indriya Samvara Sila, Ajiva Parisodhi Sila, and Paccaya Sannisiddha Sila. Regarding the Indriya Samvara Sila, the sense restraint, is the Buddha expounded this sila to Subrahma, and then Siyaro also talked about it quite detailed in previous days. So today Siyaro would like to continue this topic a little bit more detail.
Arima sila sura lejin ma be
Sila literally means conduct or the custom we follow. So conduct or moral conduct means the Patimokkha Samvara Sila. For monks and nuns, for monastics, there is a monastic rules and regulation known as Patimokkha Samvara Sila. So for lay people, five precepts or eight precepts with the pure livelihood are regarded as Patimokkha Samvara Sila. So here at TMC, the yogis are observing the eight precepts. Sila is very important. We should have fulfilled sila before we practice meditation. We are supposed to fulfill sila, especially for monks and nuns. There is very important to fulfill sila in advance. For lay people also, it is good if you observe five precepts or eight precepts in advance or before you take the intensive retreat. But the exception is lay people may not observe five precepts before they come to the center for intensive retreat. But when they make strong resolution that I will observe five precepts or eight precepts, then the lay people are regarded to meet this moral requirement. So sila, in essence means the restraint in body and speech. Regarding the Patimokkha Samvara Sila and the monastic rules and regulation and five precepts or eight precepts for lay people. So, for example, for lay people, we are supposed to refrain from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. These are restraint on our body. So we discipline our body in moral conduct. And we refrain from telling lie and harsh speech, slandering and frivolous speech. That's how we discipline our speech. So sila in this sense means the restraint in body and mind. So if we don't restrain ourselves in body and mind, then we may happen to commit evil deed and we will get blamed, we will pay price for our misdeeds. So sila, I mean with Patimokkha Samvara sila means the restraint in body and speech. So as jiva parisodhi sila, the moral conduct regarding with the pure livelihood, wholesome livelihood. As for monastics, monks and nuns, they have to seek the four requisites according to the Vinaya rules and regulation. If they receive four requisites in a wholesome way, as mentioned in the Vinaya, they are regarded and they observe the pure livelihood. So they are ajiva parisodhi sila is considered pure. For lay people, when we make a living, our living should be done without committing three kinds of evil deeds in body, four kinds of evil speeches. Then our livelihood is regarded to be pure. So our ajiva parisodhi sila is honored pure. So that kind of sila is paccaya sannisita sila. This moral conduct is related to the four requisites, the use of the correct use of four requisites. Mostly it's applicable to monastics, monks or nuns. So when they use four requisites, they have to use with the correct purpose. Four requisites include the food, accommodation, rope, accommodation, and medicine. So they use these four requisites with the correct purpose. They have to recollect. They have to recollect before they use them. So, for example, they use the food, the enjoying food for survival to fulfill their monastic duty like learning, Buddha's teaching, practicing, meditation, or to keep their body healthy, to protect the from weather. So this kind of the correct purpose should be recollected when they use four requisites. Only then is their precepts considered to be pure. So it's quite necessary for monks and nuns to recollect the correct purpose when they use four requisites. So when one wants to practice the intensive retreat, and then he or she is supposed to observe these precepts, these kinds of sila, especially for monastics, monks and nuns, they are required to meet this moral precepts. So they have to fulfill these moral conduct before they practice intensive retreat. So for lay people, they may not be able to fulfill these precepts before they come to practice meditation. But if they make strong resolution to keep the pure precepts during the intensive retreat, they are considered they meet the moral requirement. They can practice until they accomplish their spiritual purpose. So there are very heavy karma, serious karma that can prevent us from the spiritual achievement. And then they can also prevent us from blissful rebirth after death. So these kind of karmas are very serious, very heavy. They include panchanandriya and five kinds of karma. They include panchanandriya, bhikkhuni dusaka, and ariyu pavada. So panchanandriya karma is of high kind. It's killing mother, killing one's father, and killing human arahant, and making the Buddha bloody, and breaking the Sangha community. So breaking Sangha community or unity actually is, you know, applicable to the monks only. So these five kinds of karma and deeds are known as Panchanandriya karma. So because they bring us immediate result right after death. So they are called immediate resultant karma. And they prevent us from the spiritual achievement, and as well as from blissful rebirth after death. So these five are very serious karma. And the second kind of the karma is called bhikkhuni dusaka. So bhikkhuni means female monk, fully ordained female monk. So if we do misdeed to the bhikkhuni, the female monk, and the female nun, and then this kind of karma prevent us from the spiritual achievement and blissful rebirth after death. And then the third one is ariyu pavada karma. This is whether we know someone is ariya, or someone who achieved the mega enlightenment or not, or we choose him or her willingly or unwillingly, or any evil deeds or any evil things, that means we committed this misdeed. This is a very serious misdeed. It can prevent us from spiritual achievement and blissful rebirth. But if we realize we committed this misdeed, we happen to choose the ariya or the misdeed, and then we can make apology, and then we can get freed from this kind of evil. So, as an example, the Prince Ajatasattu is a good example, who committed the patricide. He assassinated his father because he was associated with someone evil like Devadatta. So he followed Devadatta's advice and assassinated his king father. So committing such a heavy karma, even though he was smart and his potential for spiritual achievement, but he lose everything. He lost everything. He by no means can develop the spiritual practice successfully. So a few days ago, it seemed a yogi asked a question. How can it be possible for minister sanctity to become fully enlightened without having pure sila? In this regard, during the Buddha time, also there are lay people who became enlightened without prior observance of the precept sila. So here the story of the man named as Ariya, Ariya, noble person. His name is noble person. What he is doing is fishing. he's fishing. So the Buddha saw the man is fishing under the name of Ariya, noble person. So the Buddha saw his potential to be enlightened. So the Buddha went there purposely with his disciple. And the Buddha saw him fishing in somewhere in a river. So in front of him, the Buddha asked Venerable Sariputra name, and then Venerable Moggallana name. So the fisherman, he know, the Buddha will ask me name. So then, of course, the Buddha asked him, so what's your name? And he said, Ariya. Or your name is Ariya, noble person. But actually, you do not live up to your name. You know, Ariya, noble person, they never do even like the killing or stealing. So you, as a Ariya, you should live up to your name. And in that, the Buddha gave a Dhamma talk regarding to his name. And then he became enlightened. He attained the first stage of enlightenment. So he became Sotapanna. So of course, he has no prior fulfillment of the sila. He became enlightened. But why he's fishing? Because he make strong resolution to refrain from killing or any misconduct when the Buddha said, oh, you should live up to your name as a nobleman according to your name. So with such enlightening question, he make resolution, oh, right, I will keep precept. He make this resolution. So that means he fulfilled his moral requirement. So he's qualified to enlightened. So another story is also during the Buddha time. There were two pickpockets. They often join the Buddha's audience. They pretended to listen to the Dhamma talk, and they stolen the people around. So one day, two pickpockets, they got into the Buddha's audience, pretended to listen to Dhamma talk, and one of them happened to pay proper attention to the Buddha's teaching. And then he realized the mental and physical phenomena and their impermanence, conditionality and impermanence. And thus he developed mindfulness, became enlightened, attained the first stage of enlightenment. So Sotapanna, he became Sotapanna. So as a Sotapanna, he keep five precepts fully, 100% pure. Even sacrifice their life, Sotapanna never commit, never break five precepts. So he didn't make anything to steal from anybody around. But his friends succeeded in stealing something from somebody in the Buddha's audience. So when they get back home, his friends blame him. Oh, you stupid! You could not make anything. You know, I got it this amount. So he complained against his friends' failure. So he said, "Oh, I will no longer commit such evil deed. And then also he came back to the Buddha and reported what his co-thief said. Then the Buddha gave this brief Dhamma talk Yobalo, Minyati Baliam, Panidowa Bitina, so and so on. The meaning is a fool. Who knows he is a fool is liable to become a wise. So a fool who even think he is wise, he is indeed real fool. So the Buddha gave brief Dhamma talk. So another the misdeed or another evil things that prevent us from spiritual achievement is called kilesa antaraya, kilesa antaraya. It is related to the wrong view, niyata maichariti. There are three kinds of wrong view. If we are really firmly hold these certain kinds of wrong view, then we are prevented from spiritual achievement and the blissful rebirth. The first kind of wrong view is agriya vada. This view is rejects. This view rejects the law or the karma. So if we do good things, it bring good results. They don't believe this kind of cause and effect. So whether you do good or bad, and there will be no results. So if we hold this kind of view very firmly, and then we are prevented from spiritual achievement. And then second wrong view is natika deity. There is no life after death. So this life is the first and the last. So this is natika deity. If we hold this kind of view very firmly, we will be prevented from spiritual achievement. And that number three wrong view is ahetuka deity. There is no, this deity, this wrong view reject the law of cause and effect. So people rich or poor, happy or unhappy, without particular reason, people become rich or poor in a random manner. There's no particular condition or reason. Everything takes place at random. So this is called ahetuka deity, the belief in no cause, belief in wrong cause. So if we hold one of these three wrong view very firmly, and then we are liable to be reborn. We are bound to be reborn in the woeful state after death. Not to mention to gain the spiritual achievement. So in brief, we need to have faith in the law or the karma. The good deed always bring us good results. Bad deeds always bring us bad results. This is the natural law of the karma. So if we don't accept this kind of the karmic law, and then we are prevented from spiritual achievement. So at least we have to accept the good deed bring us good results, bad deed bring us bad results. This kind of acceptance or the belief, understanding is called skama sakata samadhi, the right view. We believe karma, our karma, as our own possession. So that's karma sakata samadhi, believe in karma as our own possession. So this right view is very important. basic foundation on which higher merits have to be built up. So only when we have this kind of faith, we can practice successfully. Otherwise, no, we cannot practice successfully. So two things are necessary for our spiritual accomplishment. The first is pure sila, moral conduct. Second is right view. So right view here means karma sakata samadhi. We have faith in karma as our own possession. Even if we were pachima bhavika, we cannot be enlightened unless we can keep five precepts and right view. So here, pachima bhavika means the person who is destined or who is endowed with the spiritual achievement in this very life. That's pachima bhavika. Even we were pachima bhavika, we were destined to be enlightened in this very life, but we won't unless we observe sila and right view. So that's why the Buddha told Venerable Odia, who requested the Buddha to give brief Dhamma talk for his enlightenment. Then the Buddha first said, Odia, the first thing you have to do is to purify your Patimokkha sila, the monastic rules and regulations you have to fulfill. And then you have to strengthen your view. That means you have to keep the correct view, right view. Then when you have fulfilled sila and meet the right view, then you should practice developing four foundations of mindfulness. That brief Dhamma talk given by the Buddha to the Odia, as is requested. So the Venerable Odia followed the Buddha Dhamma talk, and finally he became fully enlightened. So Venerable Odia, no doubt he was Pachima Bhavika, the person who was destined to be fully enlightened in this very life. Even then, the Buddha told him to keep five precepts, to keep the right view. So the point is, sila, moral conduct, is very important for our spiritual achievement. So of course, meditation practice is superior. But without sila foundation, we cannot build up any higher level of the spiritual achievement. So this center always put emphasis on the sila. Yogis here are supposed to observe eight precepts. So we need to understand eight precepts properly. So some yogi may not understand properly, especially regarding food afternoon. So as a yogi, we are instructed to eat food with mindfulness. And without mindfulness, we enjoy food, and there is a mental defilement, and our practice become weak. And so after noon, until the next dawn, we are not allowed to enjoy solid food like the rice or wheat, like the bread or the milk. So from starting from afternoon until next dawn, so we are not allowed to eat rice or milk or any food made of the wheat, flour, and from starting from the afternoon to the next dawn. And also, as a yogi, we should not use the makeup or cosmetics and so on. These are basic moral precept foundation to be there for higher achievement. So if we commit the Panchanandriya Kama, the Matrasai, Pitrasai, and so on, and a Bhikkhuni Dusaka, we do mistake to the non-Bhikkhuni, and Ariyu Pawada, we make the wrong accusation or the Ariya, and then we are called Ababa. Ababa means unqualified yogi for meditative achievement. So we are no longer qualified to practice successfully. So we ababa if we commit this evil deed. So there are six qualities for us to fulfill spiritual achievement. The first is kamma. We have to be free from the misdeed just mentioned earlier. And then number two is a deity, wrong view. We have to be free from the wrong view, as mentioned. And then also we have strong faith. And strong faith is a number three. We have to believe in the karma and if karmic results and the quality of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. We need to have strong faith in these five things. And then number four is chanda. We must be willing to practice. We have strong desire to achieve enlightenment. And then number five is we must be dihe dukkha passing. So dihe dukkha passing means we must be someone who were born with the certain qualities, three kinds of the quality, that means aloba, adosa, amoha. Aloba means the unselfishness, adosa means loving kindness, amoha means wisdom. So these are called three roots. So if we born with the three roots, then we are regarded qualifying, capable person for spiritual achievement. And number six, we have to develop until the Uriyabhya Jnana, the fourth stage of insight. Among the progressive insight, we have to reach. So when we reach this fourth stage of insight into the arising and passing away of the phenomena, we call Uriyabhya Jnana, then that means we are qualified to be fully enlightened in this very life. So if we have these six qualities, we are regarded to be qualifying for enlightenment. So the yogis here, Sierra believe, have these qualities. Most importantly, yogi here have strong faith in the Dhamma and its benefits. They are willingly and enthusiastically practicing. So if they have strong faith in the Dhamma, and for sure they will make great effort in the practice. So sooner or later they will be able to develop the Uriyabhya Jnana, the fourth stage of insight, the insight into the rising and passing away. That when we reach this stage, we are for sure we are qualified to be enlightened in this very life. So in conclusion, Sierra wish, may all of us be able to practice continuous mindfulness, developing progressive vipassana insight until mega phala enlightenment. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.